My name is Mike Morgan.
The title of our message is Faith Comes by Listening. Our text, Mark chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. Without a doubt, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. But there is a great difference between hearing and listening. Husbands are bad about hearing the words that their wives speak, but not listening to what they say. I include all husbands in that statement to help me feel better when I don't listen to my wife. The same principle is true about hearing the Word of God. There is a danger that we will sit in an audience like this and allow our ears to function naturally and hear the Word of God spoken, but not concentrate on what is said. When we stand before God in judgment, how many of us who have not forsaken the assembly will find ourselves lost because the truth went in one ear and out the other? How many of us will miss heaven because we were hearers only and not doers of the word? Listening is hard work. What makes a good listener? Concentration. It is not by accident that Matthew, Mark, and Luke record the parable of the sower, which has to do with listening to God's word and applying God's word to our lives. This morning, we will discuss the meaning of the parable of the sower and see a good and honest heart in the prodigal son. Surrounded by the multitudes, Jesus enters a boat and spoke a parable to the crowd. Note how he begins this parable in verse 3. Hearken, behold, listen. This is a double red light. God is saying, stop. Give attention to what I'm saying. In Jesus' day, the sower would carry a sack filled with seed and scatter it on the ground. His audience would have seen and done this very thing. They understood that four things could happen to the seed. A flock of birds would follow the sower and eat the seeds. They would have seen seed fall on rocks and never take root. They were aware that when the seed fell on different soils, it would begin to grow but soon die, and the largest portion of seed would fall on good soil, thus producing a good crop. Jesus used these four soils to illustrate those who hear God's word. The wayside soil represents the thoughtless hearer, people who hear the word of God but see no value in it. When does Satan come? Immediately to snatch away the word of God planted in their heart. Satan knows the power of God's word to change lives and does not want it to take root. The stony ground represents the person who hears and accepts the truth of God's word, but does not have a commitment and determination to stay with the truth. Therefore, the storms and trials of life are able to destroy his shallow faith. The thorny ground. Here is a professing Christian who wants the best of both worlds. Along with God's blessings, he wants a life of ease, comfort, and pleasure, specifically the deceitfulness of riches. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, but those who desire to be rich fall into many temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This ought to underscore the tremendous influence that money has and how it stands in contrast with spirituality. And then there is the good ground. Matthew chapter 13, verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. In order to produce fruit, the ground must be prepared and cultivated. Christians bear fruit by adding to their faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. God is not as much concerned with what you have done in the past as in what you do about it today. The good ground, the good and honest heart, is developed in two stages. The first stage is when a person realizes that they are heading in the wrong direction and they are ready to do something about it. The prodigal son shows us what a good and honest heart looks like. This parable has been called the pearl and crown of all the parables, the gospel within the gospel. It can also be called the parable of the loving father, because it reveals more about the love of the father towards both of his sons. In this parable, the father symbolizes our heavenly father. The prodigal son in coming home represents the penitent sinner, and the elder brother reflects not only the attitude of the self-righteous Pharisees and scribes, but also so-called friends who will ridicule you for saying no to sin and yes to Jesus. The parable begins with the son's departure from home. The younger son asks his father to give him his portion of the inheritance due him. According to the law of Moses, the elder son received a double portion of the inheritance because he was responsible for taking care of the family. The fact that the son asked for the money while the father was still alive shows the father was dead in his sight. Like so many of us when we were young, he desired to be free from parental restraints. He wanted to take the money and run. Do you think the father warned him about the dangers of ahead? I guarantee the father had made the same mistake his son was about to make. According to Luke chapter 15, verse 12, the father granted his wish and divided to them his livelihood. The younger son takes his pocketful of change to the big city. Have you heard the saying, "What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas"? Well, that's a lie, because God sees through the darkness. Only children and the ignorant fail to realize that you don't get away with anything in this life. If man does not see you, God knows and will punish unrepentant sin. As his son walked away, the father did not say, "Get out of here. Don't you come back." I'm sure with tears in his eyes, he was praying that God would protect him from harm. As soon as he entered the city, the young man fulfilled his fantasy of endless parties and sinful living. Verse 14, "But when he had spent all," how much does extravagant living cost? Everything that a person has. Solomon said, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle towards heaven." His poverty is complicated by a famine striking the country. As he dreamed about living the high life, a famine never crossed his mind. In desperation, he was hired to feed pigs. This would be most degrading to a Jew, because pigs were considered unclean. According to Hendrickson, there was a saying among the Jews at that time, "May a curse come upon the man who cares for swine." He wanted some of that slop, but was denied because the pigs came first. add to his hunger and humiliation homesickness. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He finally comes to his senses. I blew it. I was deceived. Dad was right. The majority of us sitting here this morning have been there and done that. We have tried everything that the world says brings happiness, only to find out that it was all a lie. Endless parties and sinful living brought sickness, heartache, sorrow, and pain. So-called friends are gone when your money runs out. In the pig pen of sin, we finally realize that we are headed in the wrong direction and are ready to make a change. The prodigal son resolved to return home and do three things. First, to confess his sins against heaven, God's will, and his father. When tempted by Potiphar's wife, Joseph said, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? When Nathan told David, you are the man who committed adultery with Bathsheba and killed her husband, David said, I have sinned against the Lord. Joseph, David, and the prodigal son realized that all sin is first and foremost against God. The sooner we learn this lesson, the better. Second, the prodigal son resolved to confess his unworthiness to be called his father's son and to be made only like one of his father's hired servants. What had to happen before this young man reached this point? God pulled the rug up from under him. Maybe there's someone here this morning that has had the rug pulled from under you. With many tears, you are tired of sin and ready to live a better life. You are in the right place because Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father. I wish the Bible would have recorded more about his journey home. Did he have any shoes? How many miles did he travel? Did he make the journey on an empty stomach? It had to be a painful journey home. But nothing was going to stop him from changing his life. Our decision to reject sin and follow the Lord is going to be painful. Satan will not let you go easily. Ungodly friends will try and pull you back. But he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But when he was still a great ways off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son quickly confessed his sins and his unworthiness to be called a son. He had to confess his sins in order to be forgiven. If we want to be forgiven of our sins, we must repent, admit our mistakes to God, and ask him to forgive us. Before the prodigal son could say, make me one of your hired servants, the father joyfully called upon his servants to bring the best of everything. This repentant sinner had been reinstated to the family and made a son again. Note the touching words of the father. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found. Any parent can relate to the emotions expressed by this father when a lost child confesses their mistakes and returns home. The father went straight for his son's heart and spoke tender words of love. Note what he called him, not a servant or slave, but son, a term of endearment. Did the father find some more inheritance money for this son? No, he blew his share. But the father could show kindness in other ways. If there is someone here this morning who is ready to say, I blew it. I was deceived. I need to pattern my life after God's word and live for Jesus, our loving Heavenly Father stands ready to forgive and welcome you to the family. You would think that everyone would be happy when a person repents of their sins and changes their lives. The prodigal son's older brother was angry. He would not celebrate his brother's return. When a person obeys the gospel through repentance, confession, and scriptural baptism, there is joy in heaven. There is joy in the presence of the angels of God, and it is right to make merry and be glad. This parable relates to the story of the two sons. The younger son represents the sins of the body. The older son represents the sin of disposition. One was lost in a far country. The other was lost at home. The younger son was disobedient. He left home against his father's will. He was wasteful. He spent all on sinful living. He was immoral. He spent his money on harlots. Not until he hit rock bottom did he manifest any strength of character. The older son was obedient, hardworking. He was in the field when his brother returned. The older brother was moral. He had the opportunity to sow his wild oats, but he did not. But through jealousy and envy, the weakness of his character was brought to life. According to God's word, when we finally make the decision to forsake sins and live for Jesus, people will hate you. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regards to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. When your friends speak evil of you for saying no to sin, remember, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. The curtain falls on this parable with the younger son on the inside and the older brother on the outside. What was the danger of the elder brother's unforgiving spirit? It would keep him out of heaven. It is not enough to simply be morally right. We must have a loving disposition that forgives others as Christ has forgiven us. One more thing about the forgiven sinner. They should be the first to warn others about the dangers of sin. Oh, listen, I've been there and done that. Please don't make the same mistake that I made. Save yourself from the sickness, heartache, pain, and wasted years. The second step to having a good and honest heart is never returning to a life of sin. Once you make the commitment to follow Jesus, don't look back. Will we sin occasionally in moments of weakness and frailty? Absolutely. But we quickly confess our sins, ask God to forgive us. Knowing that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. After conversion, our number one goal in life is to walk in the light as He is in the light, show the world what a forgiven sinner looks like, and take as many people to heaven with us as we can. Are we like the wayside soil? If you have heard the gospel of Christ, but are not yet a Christian, you may be in the process of hardening your heart the longer you wait. You are susceptible to Satan's deception in some form to blind you and not allow the Word of God to take root in your heart. How many sermons does a man or woman need to hear in order to understand what they must do to be saved? One. Do not put off till tomorrow what you know needs to be done today. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Are we like the stony place? If you have obeyed the gospel through repentance and scriptural baptism, but are not growing in the grace and knowledge of God, you will likely fall away when persecution or temptation comes your way. Are we like the soil among thorns? If you have obeyed the gospel, but are becoming too preoccupied with the cares, riches, and pleasures of this world, you will not be able to bear much fruit. Or are we like the good soil? If you are ready to have your sins washed away and secure your home in heaven, there are five steps that you must take. According to God's Word, you must hear His Word in order to have faith. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Acts chapter 15, verse 7. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. And Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God and only Savior of men. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Matthew chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 8, verse 24. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You must repent. This is a willful decision to forsake sins and live for Jesus. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. You must confess Christ before men. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And you must be baptized for the remission of sins, not because your sins have already been forgiven by saying the sinner's prayer. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. After conversion, we must walk in the light as He is in the light, and remain faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10.